Okay, sweet. We are now officially recording.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Hello, and welcome to Spooky Sips, where we put our love of horror movies into a podcast and sip some spirits along the way. I'm one of your hosts, Yvette, and I'm here with my co-hosts, Laura and Brianna.
Hello.
Hey. All right, so this episode is extra special because the three of us are together.
Yes, we
united,
are.
Baby. We decided to come up to Portland to see Yvette, and that is where we decided to go see Friday the 13th on Saturday the 14th.
Yeah,
we're
did.
A day late, but it's fine.
We missed the tickets. It's fine. It's not a big deal.
Fine. Okay. So for those of you that haven't watched it, Friday the 13th is filmed in 1980 and is just the classic quintessential slasher movie.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, what happens is despite Crystal Lake's history of murder, it does not deter these teens from going up there to be camp counselors, even though there's a lot of gruesome stories that have been told.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens throughout this movie, is we get to see their time at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yes.
So today we've been sipping on a couple different things, but we're going to start with what we're sipping on right now. Mm-hmm. And today we have what looks like a very interesting creation.
And by that she means disgusting.
I'm so excited.
Brianna and special guest Matt, who helped create this cocktail, we haven't tried this yet, but
nope.
Before we take our first sip, would you like to describe to us what we are about to take in? And maybe describe how you decided to serve it as well.
Not just what, but also the why.
Why.
So, I do need to feel some responsibility about what I've put in front of you, so I'm going to explain that a little bit. Well, Friday the 13th takes place at camp. When you think of camp, you think of campfires. Mm-hmm. When you think of campfires, you think of s'mores. So this is my take on a s'mores martini.
Okay.
Now, we didn't really have all the ingredients to do something like that, so there are ingredients in here, some of which are expired, some of which are not. I wasn't really able to roast a marshmallow, but I was able to sort of gelatinize one.
We had a lighter.
I tried to use a lighter.
And a microwave.
Yeah, the microwave kind of worked. But anyway, I think we should just, without further ado, I think we should just try it.
Yeah, I say, let's all cheers.
Yeah. Did you already get a picture of it?
Oh, yes.
All right.
Oh, yes.
Great. Oh, cheers.
Right, cheers.
Cheers.
And good luck, everyone.
Cheers and good luck.
Oh. That is so bad.
First impressions.
I'm getting a lot.
Oh,
so
I can't.
Why does it taste like cold medicine?
It's giving when you first drink it. I particularly like the goo mixed with the crumble texture.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a graham cracker crust.
Which is stuck to the rim of the cocktail by a, I'm assuming, just like microwaved candy bar. Yep.
Yeah, we didn't have Hershey's chocolate syrup, so this is a microwaved bar of Hershey's chocolate.
Okay, perfect.
And then it appears as though it would be
served with a
chocolate liquid.
Well,
but it tastes.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys, I'm trying to just get a piece of the marshmallow, and it's so fused to the glass.
Okay,
also, the marshmallow is really hardened.
Oh, it is. Oh,
okay. You guys,
I can't even get it.
When you guys made this drink.
In my defense, I made this like 2 minutes ago. I can't be expected to have the shelf life be more than a couple minutes.
Oh my god.
It would have been
the
good
worst thing I've
30
ever.
Seconds ago.
You want it to taste like chocolate because it looks like chocolate, but it tastes like, okay.
Cold medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I can't. I'm not doing it.
Now, the both of you have yet to describe what is in this.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Please tell us the ingredients.
Well,
yeah.
I'm surprised that it tastes as bad because, well, so it's the creme de cacao. It's like a chocolate liqueur.
Liqueur.
A whipped cream vodka.
Yes.
For marshmallow.
Okay.
And then I believe 2-year-old expired Bailey's cream.
Yes, it's also Bailey's.
Bad.
Right? Like, why does it taste so bad?
I don't know why it tastes like this. I'm actually kind of puzzled by that.
I also, so you last minute topped it off with some whipped cream.
Yeah, it's really separating.
What's happening to the whipped cream?
I don't really know.
Cream?
Yeah, if you look at it, the whipped cream is gelatinizing.
It's like curling almost.
Wait. Wait, you guys, has anyone tried the marshmallow?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's like a rock.
No, but I just tried. It's crunchy.
Yep, yes. It is very crunchy.
How did you get a marshmallow to be
crunchy? I don't know. How you prepared this marshmallow.
I can't. Welcome. I'm done. Well, that was great, guys.
That
Thank
was
you.
Really nice.
Thank you.
I will say, I do love the rim. The chocolate rim yes. with the graham cracker crumbles is delightful.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if it was a decent cocktail, I think you'd have a winner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm going to drink it. I mean, I'm not.
I'm not.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
I'm with that.
That's
perfect. Always good to hear that the creators of your cocktail are resistant.
Yeah, we're done here.
To having any of it.
We are done.
So, Spooky Sippers, also, Yvette and I, and Brianna, but Brianna's was not quite as strong, have been taking some shots.
Yes, we've been drinking tonight.
We've been drinking tonight, so maybe we're just a little...
And honestly, though, that should have helped this
Yes,
drink.
That should have made this easier.
Drinks usually taste better
exactly
later in the night, and that really makes me question...
Every time I go
no,
to
I really, I can't, it. I can't do
it.
It
really makes me
I think
question.
It will make me sick.
Mm-hmm. The presentation was delightful.
Yes, and you guys did a beautiful job with presentation. And you can be proud of that.
Yes. Anyways.
This might be one that we, and by my, I mean, it's most definitely one we don't recommend to the listeners.
No, we do
we
not.
We still need to give them the recipe.
Although
we will.
I would
you worry.
Love an improved version.
Yes.
If anyone out there is
Yeah, if any of our listeners know how to like.
S'mortini.
Mm-hmm. Make a good s'more.
Yes,
s'mortini. S'mortini.
Oh, mm-hmm. What were we calling this one, though?
Oh, I was going to call it the Saturday the 14th, because
yes.
the idea is there,
yes.
but it's a little off.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly. Saturday the 14th. A for idea.
Yep.
D minus for effort or execution.
Yes. Yeah.
Fair.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So yeah, we should let the listeners know that we are together because we wanted a spooky trip.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
Oh,
no, we're doing
yes.
this because
all
of
together.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. we thought we would have a weekend where we get all back together again
so,
and go and do spooky themed activities.
Yeah. Because if
yes.
you've been following us on Instagram, you know
mm-hmm. yes.
that we have been together this weekend
mm-hmm.
doing the spooky activities.
Yep.
Yes.
With our new little mascot.
Yes.
Yes.
Who, if you don't know who we're talking about, go to our Instagram right now and start to follow us.
Mm-hmm.
And see the most adorable
because
little
you'll
ghost.
Love him.
And if you would like to purchase one, we will be giving you details online as to how you can do that,
mm-hmm.
made by yours truly, a.k.a. Laura.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we did watch this movie in theater,
mm-hmm.
which I'm honestly so excited about.
Yes.
I was wondering kind of how it would go, and it was like an almost fully packed theater
yes.
yeah.
that we were in, and I feel like that made that so
yes.
fun.
It was such a vibe,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like the people that we were with, like the audience, was perfect. Like,
mm-hmm.
everyone was respectful, and, you know, but they still were like...
Mm-hmm.
Excited and kind of in it. And
yeah.
you kind of
energy was high.
Yeah, the energy was high and there was a lot of audience participation.
Yes.
But in the least annoying way. Like it didn't bother me, you know?
Yes.
Like
mm-hmm.
yeah. No, it was perfect.
Well, because the theater we saw it in was called the Hollywood
mm-hmm.
Theater in
yes.
Portland, Oregon.
Oh, anyone who knows.
Mm-hmm.
This is an amazing theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just very old school.
Mm-hmm.
The theater that we were in for our particular movie was upstairs, but you went up some stairs and then you went up this like ramp that was just felt like we were in a fun house.
Yes.
Like the floor was completely not level. It
yep.
was wild. It was so fun. And they serve alcohol there, which is what started our debauchery tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the popcorn was amazing and just the ambiance was incredible.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I'm so glad we got to experience
yes.
the Hollywood Theater.
Yes.
Me
too. Definitely. And honestly, I think the movie is part of what created such a good
mm-hmm,
atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is just a good October movie.
Agreed.
Yes. I think if you're just looking for like a fun
mm-hmm.
October spooky movie to watch,
mm-hmm,
like
yes.
I think this movie is just kind of great.
Yes. Totally.
To go watch it.
Yes.
Well, and I will say, because I have never seen it. So, yes. Yeah, this was my first time with the movie. And it's like, after seeing it, I realized it's one of those things where, like, of course I knew Friday the 13th, in quotes, right? Like, I knew what that was, and I had heard about Jason and, like, you know, the later things. But I actually had no idea, like, what happened mm-hmm. in this movie. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. who the killer was and what actually went down. And, like, mm-hmm. so it was kind of fun because I kind of went in blind and just got to, like, be in the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. Have you seen any variation of a Friday the 13th movie?
No, but I've seen clips of later variations of
Okay.
So I've seen, like, clips of it, but I've never mm-hmm. seen a full mm-hmm. actual movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think for me, it's I had seen this movie a very long time ago, and I was kind of mentioning to you guys earlier, but, like, there have been so many sequels, and there have been so many movies and shows that did this concept
right
of spooky camp, a serial killer yep. on the loose, that I didn't remember what was in this movie and what was from something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that made it a lot more fun. Like, this is a really fun movie. If you haven't watched it in a while, maybe pause and then come back, but go watch it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a fun one to, like, take a break from and then come back to.
Oh, totally.
And be surprised by it.
Because I was the same. So I saw this movie a very long time ago, probably at this point, like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen, like you, Brianna, I've seen different variations, but I remembered certain things. I remembered mm-hmm. the counselors coming to camp.
Yes.
I remembered something about the lake. I remember the one scene of the girl and the killer, who we'll talk about later, having this, you know, bitch slap fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I remembered certain things, but I actually forgot the main thing.
Yeah.
I
know.
Like,
yeah.
I forgot the surprise at the end. I forgot, like a lot of it. So it was really, really fun to watch. And the audience was just ridiculous. Like, normally it's kind of like, you know, when you're in a plane and the, mm-hmm. you know, the captain lands, which is his, like, one fucking job, and everyone, like, claps.
Yeah.
Like, yay! You landed the plane. Yeah. I just roll my eyes so hard. But this one, at, like, certain parts in the movie, everyone cheered or clapped, or at the end of it, everyone
and it
clapped.
Was...
And actually, it felt good.
Yeah, it
so
did.
Appropriate.
I was like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it was done well. It was good. Okay. Everyone enjoyed it. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I think because I was expecting it to be a horrible movie. Like, I
really?
Thought it, yeah, like, I thought it was like, oh, this is so popular because it's a terrible movie.
Oh.
So, because, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, well,
yeah,
I guess
yeah.
I'm giving
I mean,
away
it's
my
a
opinion.
Similar
but, like,
concept.
I yeah. like Nightmare.
No,
Nightmare
I do
Elm
too. I do too.
Film. Sorry.
But, yeah. like, I thought this was, like, famous for being so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm watching it, I keep having these moments where I'm like, my God, this is such a good movie. Like, this so is amazing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's how I felt.
Okay. All right. Well, I think maybe let's just start at mm-hmm. the beginning.
Yep.
We get the, maybe not original, but, you know, our first intro mm-hmm. in the movie is the camp counselors at Camp Crystal Lake in 1958.
Yes, that's right.
And I forget what they're all singing, but I'm just going to say they were singing Kumbaya.
Right, they were singing essentially. That's
yeah.
what it was. Yes, yes.
Yeah. In the main cabin, we see the couple sneak away from their little mm-hmm. sing-along.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we get the first two
mm-hmm.
deaths in the movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Right off the bat. I don't know the timing, but it's like, this is the very beginning
yes.
of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I mean, classic horror. It's like, it is a cliche, like a horror cliche of, like, sex equals death.
Right.
Right.
But in a way, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, here we go. Like,
yep.
you know you're in for just, like, a classic
exactly.
movie. I don't know.
No,
I thought it was...
I mm-hmm. completely agree.
And I do feel like this movie does a really good job of showing kind of the perspective you get while the deaths are happening is as though you're the killer. It's
yeah,
like
yes.
what you would see if you were being the attacker
yes.
toward the victims. You get to see how they're running away from you and, like, how they're screaming. And it's almost like you're
in their
monster.
Shoes.
You're,
yeah,
yeah,
you are. You're in their
so
shoes.
Like, it's
yeah.
really kind of like a morbidly fun way
mm-hmm.
of
it
experiencing
yeah.
the
no,
terror.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And these
so
are,
it's good.
They're actually somewhat gruesome, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see the guy, Barry, get stabbed. I think yes, in, like, the right in the gut. Stomach. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. And then I forget, I don't think we see the...
I don't think we see the girl, but we see that, I mean, she's running away and she's kind of getting backed into a corner. Mm-hmm. And you see just that I it seems as though the killer, from my memory, is like gonna like come at her toward the throat area.
That's right.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think for her death you actually see it.
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But still, like, solid beginning.
Yes.
Solid mm-hmm. intro.
I think mm-hmm. any horror movie that just starts you with a death, it's like
I love that
it set it up for exactly what the rest of this movie was going to be, mm-hmm. right? It was like, we have camp counselors and they're getting murdered, mm-hmm. and it's like, all right,
I actually appreciate that, like, mm-hmm. when you just start strong, get in there.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally. Yep.
So then we kind of flash forward to present day, quote unquote.
Right.
I don't think they say the year, but the movie was released in 1980. Yeah. So
it was either 79 or 80. Like,
I'm guessing about 20 years later is what they're trying to portray.
Some time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we meet Annie, who is heading towards
the hitchhiker. Camp. Yeah.
The hitchhiker. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And she's in this creepy town.
Yeah.
Like, she's walking around and there's just no one.
No one. It's like a ghost town almost. Yeah.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's just no one anywhere nearby. And she goes into a diner, letting mm-hmm. them know that she's heading to Camp Crystal Lake.
Yep.
Because they're opening it up mm-hmm. again. And, you know, I feel like if the entire town, population 5, lets you know. Don't go. Like, maybe at least consider not
going. At least respect that there might be something going down.
Yeah.
And they even say, like, you should just not go. And she says, mm-hmm. I can't. But she doesn't say why. Like, she doesn't say, like, I just really need the money for something. Mm-hmm. But she's just, like, basically...
Yeah, you kind of have to think of your own, imagination.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. And I love the story that she tells. So she, like, she gets a ride to the camp.
Yes.
She gets one of the guys leaves the diner and he's going toward that direction. So he's going to bring her most of the way, because otherwise it's like 20 miles away.
And I think he says he'll take her like halfway.
Mm-hmm. And she ends up telling him like this, like, you know, it's supposed to be this really heartwarming story of, oh, I've always known I wanted to work with kids. And so I just knew no matter what, I was going to make it happen. And I was like, girl, you are a freaking mm-hmm. camp counselor.
I know.
This is not like some big effort you had to do to get this job.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I know.
But anyway, she made it happen working with kids.
Yeah. Well, and I love her line about, like, I hate how they call them kids. Makes me think of little goat.
Yes.
I was like, what? Like, they have some, that was so random.
Random funny lines in this movie.
I think one of my favorite parts about horror movies is the atrocious lines that happen in between the horror. Like, it's just like filler where they think they're maybe being clever.
Right.
I think that's worst or best part about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They think they're being clever and it's just awful.
We also have to talk about, before she even gets in this guy's truck, we see, like, creepy guy number one and then creepier guy number two, right? You get the guy that she got the ride from who's like, oh, are all the girls in the camp going to be as, like, cute as you or something? It's like, oh
because he's, like, 40.
Double her age.
At least.
And she's, like, 17.
Yeah.
Like,
and so it's like, I think, like, everyone in the theater was like, oh. Like, everyone is immediately like, I don't,
he's
like,
he's giving
this.
Off rapey vibes.
And then you get, like, creepier man number two coming up to them.
Yes.
Audible reactions from the movie theater audience at these pervy guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, like, I guess partially it's like, I guess it was 1980.
Right. It was the era. Like,
but also.
Well, no, because, like, you know, you, like, hitchhiking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bad rap to, like, not hitchhike.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Yeah. I guess at that, in, like, 1980, was it, like...
I feel like that was...
At that point, had people known not to hitchhike?
I feel like, I feel like that's when it started to not be okay. Okay.
Yeah, I think, like, it was kind of late 70s.
Early 80s is when it was like, ooh, bad things are happening to hitchhikers, so...
Okay,
I think we've maybe talked about in our, like, OG episode
mm-hmm.
of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
because
they were doing some hitchhiking, right?
Oh,
weren't we talking about that then?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I think this was right around when... It's no longer
look
as. It's starting to be no longer okay.
Yeah,
to
not hitchhike. As not as cute.
Yeah,
because you know there's a lot of disgusting people out there.
Right.
Yeah. So I guess talking about that, Annie, you know, ride number one is okay.
Right.
She does get to the like halfway point or whatever of her destination, which is at the cemetery.
Yes.
It's like, right. Drop you off at the cemetery.
I wanted to go to that cemetery so bad. I know. I love cemeteries more than anything in the world. And like, I was just like, oh my gosh, that cemetery looks beautiful. I want to go walk around in it.
Yeah.
Especially ones like that, that have like beautiful like gravestones.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, yeah. So here's ominous clue number 50.
Right.
Right.
For her.
Right.
Yep.
I'm just going to drop you off at the cemetery. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And she does eventually hitch a ride with someone who we don't see.
No, we don't see them.
Yeah, you, it's again, that perspective thing where we're seeing the driver's perspective of what's happening, not the driver themselves.
Oh my God, you are just like blowing my mind right now because you're saying we see this driver where before we realized that they were going to be the killer, they were giving us clues.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All along, because then it's always the killer's perspective.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize they were just giving us the clue that this was the killer the whole time.
But it was misleading because in the killer was driving the same car as the camp
Mr.
owner.
Christie was.
And so for a second, it is, they don't show the driver. It is a little suspect, but for a second it is like, oh, am I going to get the relief of them showing that it's actually just the counselor? Or not the counselor, but the owner of the camp.
I forget his name.
Yeah.
Something Christie. Steven?
Oh, Mr. Christie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think having them drive the same car was a good kind of just like misleading part.
Yeah, because the killer, didn't have a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I feel like we can just finish off Annie's story.
Yep.
She dies.
She dies.
Spoiler.
The end. Don't
try. We see it, right? She's the one that, like, we just see her throat being slit.
Yeah,
because right?
she realizes that the person's not, like, they pass the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And so she says, oh, you passed the road. I think we should go back.
Yeah, like, stop the car. That's fair.
But then they start going faster. And she's like, let me out, please. Let me out, please. So she kind of just, like, barrel rolls out of the car, is trying to get out. And she's then running through the woods. And then you see the person chasing her.
Yep.
And then, they do a really good job, I think, of the effects in this movie.
Yeah.
Of, like, they slit her throat and you just see the blood start to seep out. Like,
the gore and the effects in this movie.
So good.
It's legit.
It is so much.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you don't like seeing blood,
don't watch this movie.
This is not for you.
More intense than I was expecting.
I this movie is rated R, but even still,
it's legitimately, yes.
And I feel like there is this, like, for some reason in my mind, I was still like, oh, maybe she'll run to the camp. Like, maybe she'll get to the camp and the killer won't get her.
Right.
And I don't know why I kept feeling that, because the killer always got them.
Oh, every time.
But I swear every time I was like, oh, but maybe they'll, get away with it. Because in horror movies, you do usually have these, like, moments of relief where they're like, oh, I psyched you out.
That's
true. Actually safe.
That's true.
They're not in danger. And I swear, I feel like we didn't get many of those in this movie.
I don't think we got any.
Like, happening.
They
just
died.
No, like, if they were in danger, then they died.
Then they died.
It was just, it's very consistent. I mean,
it does.
Yeah.
There's a lot of follow through.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can kind of flash forward now to the camp where we meet the rest of the camp counselors, the rest of the crew.
One of whom is one of my favorite persons of all time, Kevin motherfucking Bacon.
I legitimately was like, wait a second. That's not Kevin Bacon, right? Like,
gaslit
myself.
Yeah.
I thought it was wrong.
Ladies, I don't know that you know this about me. And Sippers, I don't know that you know this about me. I, like, have a major crush on Kevin Bacon.
Oh, I knew
that. Back in his heyday and also today.
Yes.
I still sometimes see the Instagram posts that he makes with his sweet wife. Like, I love this man.
Mm-hmm.
I love him so much.
I didn't know this.
Kevin Bacon. if you would like to please follow us or meet me, I would be very amenable
you
to
you personally.
That. Yeah, I don't care about you
just
guys.
Me.
Love.
This is coming from me personally.
Me or Spooky Sips in love. General.
Yeah, Kevin, if you want to be on an episode.
I really love you. My crush for him started out in the movie Footloose.
Of course.
Naturally.
Obviously.
Obviously. But what was the one that I'm thinking of him from?
Tremors.
Yes, that's it.
I like that you knew.
Yes. Because he's so hot in that movie. I know that that movie is so ridiculous, but Kevin, you are so hot in that movie.
Love that movie.
It's so
good. Love Tremors. It is classic.
I love him so much. I forget even what we were talking about. My brain is just now on Kevin Bacon.
The counselor. Okay. I honestly could not tell it was him. In my mind, I was like, is he, isn't he, is he, isn't he?
Well,
like,
no,
especially
I knew.
Because, like,
yeah. It wasn't like he was a standalone character.
No,
he was just one of the counselors.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, main character energy, Kevin Bacon.
This is how versatile this man is. He just, you know, he can be a standout or he can blend in. He's not pretentious.
Yep.
We're like losing her breath over here.
No, she is. Worked up.
I love Kevin Bacon so much. I don't know why I love him so much, but I really do.
He's
so good.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Him, Ethan Hawke, so good.
Oh, my God.
All right. Anyway, let's move on.
Back to business. So we meet all the counselors. We realize that everyone is there except for Annie the cook, who we all know what happened.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so they have, I think they say, we have 2 weeks at some point,
right?
Yeah,
they have 2 weeks to get
the camp
ready.
2 weeks to get it all ready.
Yes.
Because they're kind of implying that the camp has been closed
for
many years, which I think really has been since the deaths that we saw, the first and second death, back in 57, 58?
Yeah,
Yeah, it was the 58.
So it kind of seems like the camp has been closed for 20-some years, and now they're trying to reopen it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're all kind of, like, doing, like, miscellaneous chores, and the owner, whose name we keep forgetting,
Christy.
At least I do, Christy.
Mr. Christy.
Leaves to go, like, get something.
Yeah, he, like, goes to
something.
Town. I think he, like, goes to pick something up
So he gets in his little Jeep and goes. And the counselors are kind of like doing miscellaneous things.
Well, they're kind of like, party time a little bit because he's like this like real jerk heart. He reminds me of every boss I had in my first like menial jobs where they're just like, you may not do anything fun or non-productive on work time. Like, he's just, like, really a hard ass.
Hard ass.
Yeah.
So he leaves, and they're, like, they're still doing a good job, but they're like, let's take a minute to swim.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, So they're kind of excited that he takes a little bit of time off.
So they do have a couple, spooky things unrelated to the killer. One of which, and I don't know if this is the first of the things that happens, but they see, one of them sees a snake.
Yeah, in their camp.
In
their
camp,
room.
Which would be so scary.
Yeah, because that was a scary looking. That was like
a big black
snake.
Like a big, long, black snake.
Mm-hmm.
Who, I just, like, that freaking scene, man, where, like, one of them screams and they all run in.
Yes.
And it is just chaos.
Yes, it's full
and
chaos.
It's like, okay, what are we doing? They're all like,
they're all in different directions. They're throwing, they're hitting, they're yelling.
like a pillow, like the feathers are flying around.
The feathers are coming out.
Yeah.
They're like,
what do I do?
Chopping it.
I loved that line too. Like, what do I do? Because she's like, there's a snake. He goes, well, what do I do?
What do I do?
Because they're all just kids. Like, they don't know.
No, I mean, what would you, at like 17, someone's like, oh my God, a snake. It's like,
I don't know what to do. Now,
at this
and
age,
I am a
I
lot older than 17.
Do. I'd be like, I don't know. Well, one of them is, my favorite, because, like, you know, they're all yelling and screaming. And so, like, someone's like, you know, well, you know, there's a snake in here. And the one girl is like, well, why are there so many of us in here then? Like, why are we in here if there's
she
snake in
the
here?
She was the only sane one.
Yeah, I loved that.
Like, why are we in here?
If there is a snake in here, why are we also
why are we in here?
This makes no sense. No, totally. Totally.
Now, I do think they used a real snake, and I think this is kind of before they had a lot of
right.
Oh, did they
rules.
Really kill the
so
snake?
So I think they actually did cut the snake.
Oh, so
I had a feeling about that.
It looked very real.
Oh my gosh, that makes me really sad. Yeah, I quit.
You know what? I'm done.
Yeah, and they never heard from her again.
That's it.
Wouldn't that be funny if that just
that was the end of my Spooky Sips is over.
Hard pause.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that does make me really sad. I wonder what kind of snake it was.
It is sad, but also it's good to know that in this day and age, we have better laws against
this.
Yeah.
You know, that has changed, and you can't just kill an animal for the movie's sake.
Yeah. Right.
So, yeah. Oh. I know, but I feel like it did look very realistic.
It did. Yeah.
In the movie, that, so I'm honestly not completely surprised.
More than anything we've talked about a lot of really messed up things.
It's the most upsetting.
Yeah. That's the most upsetting.
Well, it's because that's actually real.
Right.
Well, right. I know. And the snake didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. At least they killed it quickly, I guess.
Usually in our show, we can be like, well, it's okay because none of it's real. And
sadly, that was. Right.
Well, okay, let's move on.
Yeah.
Because okay, well, I can't think about this anymore.
Thing. They get a visit from Ralph.
Oh.
We had met earlier. Which, look, Ralph... At the end of the day, we realized he was right. You know, at the end of the day, for whatever reason, he was there warning people. He was actually kind of right. Why did he choose to deliver this message by hiding in the pantry?
Yeah. I mean, I believe they called him the town loon. PC thing. Mm-hmm. But so I think he just maybe, anyway, he tried to warn them. He tried his best.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bicycled away.
Him on his bicycle. Because first time we meet him, he also rides away on his bicycle.
Yes.
I feel like that second time after the pantry scene, it's like, I feel like that scene was really long.
Yes. It was.
We really watched him ride away on that bike.
I agree.
Yeah, he struggled. I felt like the same with the cop at some point.
The motorcycle.
It takes the cop.
We watched that for a really long time.
That was also, during this turn? Kind of section.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, him doing the U-turn.
I was like, oh my god, this is the longest.
He was doing like a 20-point turn to turn around and ever get out of there.
Okay, so then we get into, so we have this kind of like pre-spooky, not related to the actual killer. This whole time we know someone's watching.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, we do see that.
Someone's watching.
But then the storm.
Well, the rain.
The rain comes.
Yes.
And with the rain, so does the murder.
So do the deaths. Okay, first one to go is, who's the first one to go?
Oh my gosh.
No, it's the guy.
Oh, it's Ned.
It's Ned.
Oh,
is that his name?
Oh, yeah. Ned? So he sees the woman that he loves or is like into.
Yeah, he's crushing.
And Kevin Bacon. And they're like making out on the dock. And so he like kind of like pouts away.
Yeah.
And then we don't see his death.
No.
But we learn later
that he's dead.
That he had died.
Well, and we know who's in that kick because he sees someone outside the cabin door go in.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, like, can I help you? Like, he's going in. And, like, we all know who's in there. So it's implied.
Yes.
He's been killed.
Yes. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, we get the lovebirds.
Okay, and I think this is my favorite, is not the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But is the girl's death.
Uh-huh.
So the guy went first, right? He died first.
Yeah, so they go to Brown Chicken Brown Cow.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes to pee.
Right.
And so the killer is below the mattress and does a stab.
But that's to the guy.
That's to the guy.
Yeah, that's the
guy. That's to the guy.
Oh, and it's the girl that's through the back. Which one was it that's through the mattress?
So through the mattress, that's Jack. So for that death, right, it's like they do their thing.
Yeah, he's like laying on the bed.
No, and then
like
comes
through his back,
through
a spear.
His neck.
Yeah, like we see it from the mattress.
And I
love that.
I think part of, because I also love that death, and I think part of what made it so good is that the camera either zooms out or goes up, and we realize that they're actually on a bunk bed.
Yes, and Ned has been above them.
Is above them.
Yep.
And we see the blood drip on Kevin Bacon's
forehead.
Face.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to wipe it, and you're like, oh, man. He's about to realize that Ned has been dead with him the whole time.
And then he
just
dies.
Kidding. He's stabbed in the neck from behind.
Loved.
I think that's another thing with like this movie. It was good at playing with our expectations.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think any movie that can do that successfully mm-hmm. is a good movie. Like, they knew what we were expecting.
It's like they knew yeah. where our thought process yeah. was and what yeah. our next thought was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they got ahead of it. Yeah. Like,
absolutely. Yes.
We've mm-hmm. all seen it. The blood starts dripping. The mm-hmm. character looks up and it's, dead body.
Yep.
And this movie nope. said no.
Yeah. They were
you're
like,
dead.
No, you're dead. Dead.
You're yeah. the dead body.
You're the dead
yeah.
body.
Oh my god!
So good.
So then good. We move on to Marcy.
Yes.
Who's gone to the bathroom.
Yes, and we don't actually see her death.
Which is just good health advice. After you have sex, everyone, go pee.
Yeah, after sex.
It's really yes. good to avoid urinary tract infections.
It is. Yes. That's a good thing to know.
But we don't actually see her death, right? Like, she's well, checking behind the shower curtains.
We see the axe in her face.
Yeah.
She gets the yes, axe in the face. That's right, okay. Yes.
So she's like, she hears someone in the bathroom and she's like looking through the mm-hmm. curtains. And then I think you can see that she sees someone and
she
is scared.
Starts to scream and get scared.
And then the next thing you see is just a giant axe through her face. The makeup department
was like right through
of
the center of her face.
So putting good. Like the just the blood and
amazing.
The like fake neck and body part and like
no,
face to have the weapons in. They did so good.
They
agreed.
Did.
So good.
They did.
Even like by today's standards.
No, I agree.
Because mm-hmm. this movie was 1980.
Oh, yeah. No, like I was troubled.
Oh, it was
like
so good.
It held up so well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because it didn't have any of those like cheap mm-hmm. tries.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it didn't
yeah.
like, uh-huh. they didn't try to make it even gorier than it should be. And yep. it ends up being cheesy.
Yep.
They
yep.
didn't do that, which I appreciated.
No, so yeah. good.
So then we get the three remaining counselors.
Who are all playing Strip Monopoly.
Which I feel like of all the board games to make a strip version out of, honestly, that still sounds boring.
That's the most boring one.
Like, that's Monopoly is a 5-hour game.
I thought the same.
And like,
thing.
How in the world?
That's yeah. the worst one.
Yeah. That is the worst one.
I've never played. I can't say that like from experience, but her being like, oh, but you'll like my version. It's like,
wait, you've never played regular?
No, Strip Monopoly.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I thought you were saying you've never played Monopoly.
No, no, no.
And I was
going to say, well, I don't want to, but we
but
have
here
to
we
play.
Go.
No, I have played Monopoly.
Okay.
I've never played Strip Monopoly.
Okay.
You know,
no,
I
haven't either.
Though, as they were playing, I was like, you know, I could maybe play Strip Monopoly. That could be fun. No?
It would be...
It would just take it would just a lot of anticipation.
Here's the other thing.
Yeah.
What were the rules? I don't think I actually caught how Strip Monopoly
instead of paying
yes.
rent,
yeah,
you take off a piece of clothes.
But they
so
still
when you
had
land,
cash.
Yeah, but they
yeah.
were using the cash for rent. Like,
they could buy property.
Yeah, you could
yeah.
buy the property.
Oh, but
you
they
just couldn't
pay.
Earn
yes.
money from rent because you
that
earned clothes.
Would be painfully slow.
Yes,
it would take a while, but once it gets going.
Yeah, that's true. Once
all
it gets going,
people are naked.
True.
Yeah.
So there's easier ways to get naked.
There is. And I think much like what happened in the movie, it would be like, well, we should probably go to bed now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, so that's what happened.
Yeah, so they it was taking too long and
she like did she hear something or why
she thought
like,
she
okay,
heard
gonna...
something, so she was like, oh, let me go check. And then she was like, okay, well, good night, guys.
I'm gonna go to bed.
I think she like hears something. Oh, no, the door opens
oh,
because of the
right.
wind. Like,
that's
it's
right.
actually just the wind. And then Brenda, who's the one who leaves, says, oh, I think I left my window open.
Ooh.
I'm, like, near positive I left it open.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just call
that
it
was
there.
Fake. She was just bored of Monopoly. She
yes,
just wanted
right.
to go.
Monopoly is a boring game.
Yeah. I like it, but
it
takes
just,
a long time.
Yeah,
it's too
it takes
long.
A long time.
It's
mm-hmm.
too long of a game.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So then we get Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
Going back
yes.
to her cabin.
Yeah, so she goes also to brush her teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So she leaves her cabin. She goes to, like, the bathroom
mm-hmm.
cabin or whatever.
Right.
And she keeps hearing things.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
so she's, like, looking around.
She keeps looking at the shower. Like,
yes.
clearly there's, like, some sound. And then we do get that creepy scene where when she's looking away, we see the killers, like,
mm-hmm.
just fingers grab the curtain and look out
yes.
at her.
Yeah.
That was so good. Like, yeah. that was
so
creepy.
Good.
Like,
very.
You know the killer is there the
mm-hmm.
whole time. Like, they're building
right.
they're building that tension. But, like, I think showing it somehow, it was like, now I'm even more scared. Yes. Because we've seen the killer kill so quickly.
Yes.
It was like, they're not here
leaving,
we go.
They're not leaving one. People. They're just no. killing. Yeah. Just going to kill. Yeah, absolutely.
But we do surprisingly see her leave the bathroom.
We do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. She goes.
Mm-hmm.
And goes back to her cabin. Mm-hmm. And then she hears what sounds like a child.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Calling for help.
Which yes. I think is our first bit of a clue that yeah. this is not a male killer.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. it's almost like if I, as a female adult, were mm-hmm. to impersonate a little kid, I just can get that tone a little bit more right. than I think a man could.
Yeah.
Like of like impersonating a child.
Yes. yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
so
and
she
I
goes
think
looking.
And like in hindsight, it is absolutely a clue. But then while it's happening, it's like, whoa, wait. Because I don't know how much of the killer they'd shown at this point, but I was under the impression it was an adult man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Based on height.
Well, they show like a little bit of shoulders. They yeah. show, yeah.
Shoulders, some of the shoes. I think uh-huh. you see the legs. So it's like, at least you know it's an adult. Like, yeah. Yeah. just based off of like height, like the everything. So then when you see that, it's like, I don't know, maybe it is a ghost,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe it's something spooky.
And like, maybe this is prejudice, but like, I think you just assume an adult man.
I don't know, like, yeah, that is just my
I don't know. Like,
statistically, that's who kills.
That's, when so, you think of a yeah. serial yeah. killer, that's who I think of. Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah.
I go, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she goes and tries to help because someone's calling for help.
Right.
And by this time, it's raining really hard.
Very
so
hard.
She's just getting wet in her little yellow mm-hmm. nightgown, mm-hmm.
which is the cutest
little nightgown. Mm-hmm. And she ends up at the archery range,
yes,
I guess?
That
I
is.
Yeah.
It, no, it is. It, that's what they call it.
I don't know if I'd call it a range so much as they put some things on a on an easel.
A target on a stick.
They put a target on a stick that was all, like, shredded already.
Yeah.
This camp needed a little bit of funding, I'll say.
They were starting out, okay? They were yeah. really starting the
okay.
camp.
Okay. But sure, we'll call it the archery range.
Yeah.
But she goes where the targets are. Like, she's in the range.
Yes.
And then all of the lights turn on.
Yeah.
And they're, like, blinding bright lights
totally.
At her.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know. You know she's a city.
Yeah, this is going to happen.
But, okay, but though her man ends up dying before her because she sees him, yes? Am I misremembering
yeah.
that?
Oh,
when
no,
does
no,
wait.
No, you are. That is
her,
no,
her
you
bow.
Are.
She sees him
because so she
you're
has
right.
gone to like investigate. But in the meantime, while she's mm-hmm. like brushing her teeth and getting ready for bed, like reading, we see that her man because the power goes out.
That's right.
So her man goes to investigate the generator. The generator is a big thing in this movie.
Yes,
it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he goes to investigate the generator, he mm-hmm. gets.
I totally
got.
Yes. No, I flipped them. You're
mm-hmm.
totally right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So he is trying to fix the generator, and the killer gets him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we see too many details yet, though. Because then it cuts
yeah.
to the girl.
Yeah, I don't think we get a lot of details for that. It, for him or for Brenda, I don't think we see any
I
of
know,
her
I'm trying
death.
To, I don't think we do.
I think we see the bright lights
uh-huh.
and maybe the killer like going towards her or something. I don't think we get anything.
We don't see too much of her death.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's one thing that I really
mm-hmm.
like about this movie. So it shows the buildup and the terror
yeah.
right before the
mm-hmm.
death. And then it kind of moves on, but then you see the aftermath.
Yeah.
So, like, for – you just said her name, and I already forgot it. The girl in the yellow nightgown.
Brenda.
Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
So she, you know, she – we see that she's being kind of hunted. We see that she's scared. And
mm-hmm.
meanwhile, we had just seen that for her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And we didn't see his death, but we then see Brenda find her boyfriend. She
yeah.
like pull she like shuts a door and you see her boyfriend has just been stabbed multiple
yeah.
times with like archery
all over the,
all the
face
yeah.
arrows.
The,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So and then we also at some point later we see Brenda who had been killed and she's got like ropes around her and she's all bloody. And so like you see
yeah.
them dead and you see them alive, but you don't see the actual moment.
Yeah, the act of it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a brilliant way to do it because you get to you get the psychological part of the terror without needing so much. And we do see gruesomeness in this movie.
Oh, definitely.
Don't get
definitely
me wrong. Not trying we to see say it.
Don't show it.
But like some of the deaths, you don't need to see it. They just show kind of the aftermath.
Now, so I think actually even before these, we have the owner of the camp. Because his is kind of separate. But I think technically his happens before these two. I think he might be like the seventh death.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we get back to Mr. Christie. I think he's at a diner.
He was at a diner.
Yep. And he had gone to, I guess, get supplies because he's driving his Jeep.
Right.
And he has a trailer in the back. So, like, clearly he had gone to, like, go get some stuff. And he's talking to the person at the diner where it's like, no, I have to go back because all the counselors are there. And I think he even makes, like, a comment about how they're just not ready.
Yeah.
For the
Yeah, because they're, like, little kids and you just left. They're not little kids. Sorry. No, they're, like, but they're 19-year-olds.
Yeah.
And you just left them there and you're like, take care of everything. I gotta go get supplies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so his Jeep stalls, dies, can't turn on.
I think it's stuck in the mud or something.
Or it gets stuck, yeah.
Right.
But a police officer just so happens to see him.
To be driving by.
And is going to take him back to the camp. And again, it's like you get the little ray of hope, right? Where it's like, well, if the cop's going to take him back.
Then the
at this point,
will.
We've already seen a few deaths. Like maybe we're nearing the end of the deaths, at least. But then the cop gets a call that he has to go respond to. And so he leaves him, like, really close, right? He's like, I'm just going to have to leave you here. I have to turn around to go respond to the call. So he drops him off so he can walk back. And I do think this is where we get another hint, where at this point I was like, whoa, wait, what? Because as he's approaching, someone shines, like, a flashlight towards him to kind of block his view, I assume. You know, like, as he's walking closer. And then once he gets close enough, he sees who the killer is, and then he's like, oh, what are you doing here?
Yeah, what,
like,
what are you doing here?
Yeah. But clearly knowing the person, not like, wait, like, what are you, like,
right. Who are you?
What are you doing here? It was like, oh, what are you doing here?
Hey, you know, that I know. Like,
so
why
then
are
it was
you?
Like, oh, wait.
Yep.
Who? It's so he knows who it's, like, it's someone he knows. So we do get a hint in that sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of who the killer is.
Yep. Yep.
But I don't think it's enough to give anything away.
No. I mean, as someone that didn't know, like, what was... It's not like I knew at this point, oh, I know who it is. Like, I didn't still.
So. Yeah. So we get his death, and then we can kind of jump. So at this point, all but one of the counselors is dead.
Mm-hmm. Little Blondie. Yeah, what was her name?
Gosh, I know we knew it probably.
Alice.
Okay.
So a lot of the final part of the movie is just Alice and the killer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're kind of back and forth for the movie. And so we start with Alice goes looking for her fellow counselors. Because at this point, it's just her.
Alice was the... Wait, was Alice the one that was, like, brushing her teeth?
No, that was the other one.
That was Brenda?
But Alice is the one that was in the kitchen making tea or something.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
And she mostly stayed in the cabin. And she was the one who was playing the strip Monopoly, but she didn't take any of her clothes off.
Okay, I'm just confusing them.
You may have mixed,
all right. Yeah, I probably mixed
her
some people.
With Brenda
I think I mixed
bit.
Them up, but Spooky Sippers, forgive me. I've been drinking tonight.
No, so yeah, she's the one that she's in the kitchen, like heating up water and, you know, all of that. And
so it may have been actually her and Bill that were together because they had
No,
energy.
It was her.
They had a connection. Like she knew that he had gone to the generator.
So she's the one that found him. She's the one that found him, but she didn't die.
Right. Yes.
So
was Alice.
Sorry, everyone. I messed that up.
All right, here we go.
You're good.
We're back on track. Here we go.
We're back on it.
Yeah.
So Alice does find him at the generator.
Yes.
And there's also, I didn't actually recognize who it was. So Alice goes back to her cabin and realizes something is going on and starts, like, locking her door and, like, piling the furniture.
Yes.
And as she's kind of getting comfortable, a body smashes through the window.
Was that Brenda? That wasn't the girl with the axe in her face. That was the other.
That was Brenda.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I could not recognize. Yes, again, that was just good job on the makeup department. Yeah, but I figured it was one of them. I just didn't know.
Can I stop us for a second here and go off on a tangent? So I feel like Alice did a half good, half horrendous job of trying to protect herself. So here's what she did. She realizes she cannot lock the door. Yeah. Now the door is a door that opens out.
Yes.
Okay. So she puts a rope around a rafter inside and then ties it also to the doorknob. So really the killer can't open out because she's created this tension.
Mm-hmm.
So brilliant. Smart. But then she puts two pieces of wood in front of the door.
Okay. I actually love this part. And I think I'm going to argue everything that you're about to say.
She's stupid.
No, I think that is exactly what it is like. Like, have you ever been, and I'm not saying I've been in a situation like hers, but like in a panicked situation.
I have.
I think she actually did exactly what human nature does.
No, you're right. You don't think.
And you're in this weird, where your thinking is warped because you're like, just do this. And like, You just do block these the weird door. Ideas.
No, you're right.
So I actually think it was super realistic.
It was realistic. I will give you that. It was realistic and honest, but also, girl, use your brain. So I feel like she did these things. The first thing she did was really, really smart. And then she just piled a bunch of shit. And then I'm just thinking to myself, okay, so the killer is going to like bust through your rope because... I mean, you did a good job with that, but once they get through your rope, then what? They just step over the pieces of wood you've piled against the door?
It wasn't a lot of furniture.
No. But I do get what you're saying, Brianna, because I feel like, you're right. You're in this panic mode. You're doing anything you can think of, whether it logistically makes sense, which is what you should do.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you should just do everything. Because
your thinking does break. You're not, you're not thinking, would this work? You're just... Do
well,
it.
No, like, and actually,
know, it's almost this. Mm-hmm. What do they call it? Like primal brain. Like when your brain just.
Well, no. So you know, so, like logistically, it really is. So when we talk about this, like with the kids that I do counseling for, so when you're in this like, hyper, like aroused state of fear, but like of fear or like excitement or anger or whatever. It's your amygdala that's thinking, your like basal brain, not your prefrontal cortex. So you're like not making good decisions. You're like just doing like this like gut reaction thing out of panic, which a lot of times is not good decision making.
Yeah.
It's not like logistical. It's so like psychologically, it actually like, you're right. That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, me in my comfy little chair with my delicious popcorn and my can of wine, I'm like, you idiot.
You idiot. And I do think the actress did a good job of looking frazzled and panicked. Like,
she did.
The entire time I was kind of like, okay. She's like, just like, kind of like, oh God, like, what am I doing?
I liked that.
You know, she's just kind of grabbing things.
No, she did.
Yes, I loved that.
She did a great job.
That's what I mean by like, this movie was so much better than I was expecting. Like, like it was done so well that I was like, wait, this is actually like a good,
it's very good
movie. Mm-hmm. Like, yes. Yeah.
Okay, so now what happens? I'm forgetting.
Well, at some point we see after the body has been chucked through the window, we see a car approaching.
Yes.
And it's
the
Jeep that's shared by apparently everyone in this movie.
Right.
And Alice kind of reasonably assumes it's Christie.
Mr. Christie.
She's like, oh, finally, here we go. We can go.
There's my boss.
And his Jeep, and it's going to be okay. But it's not Mr. Christie.
Nope.
That
it's not.
Comes out of the Jeep.
Mm-hmm.
To our surprise, it's some random lady.
Oh, what's her name? We know her
Mrs.
name.
Voorhees.
And she kind of gives this weird explanation like, oh, I've been friends with the Christies for a while, like back in the 50s. Like, so she kind of explains that like she knows them.
Yeah.
And she's going to help.
Yeah. And she's Alice. Kind of like, oh, you're just freaking out because of the storm.
Yeah, she's like, she's trying to calm her down.
She's
like,
gaslighting her.
She's totally gaslighting her.
It's the storm. Like, show me what's going on and I'll help you.
And she's like, Alice is like, let's just go. I don't want to show you. Like,
yep.
And no, like, and the older lady is like, no, I need to see, like, what's going on. And
she's along with it. Ugh. Go inside the house, show her the dead body.
Yep.
But surprise, surprise, Mrs. Voorhees was not here to help.
Nope.
She was not.
Yes.
And is this when we get the epic? So several scenes in this movie got big reactions from the crowd. One of which is at some point eventually Alice realizes Mrs. Voorhees is like a bad girl, and so like they start to fight.
Yeah.
And so and this is one of the scenes from the movie I remember from like 20 years ago when I watched it. They're fighting and I feel like Mrs. Voorhees' plan is to just bitch slap Alice to death.
Yes.
Because they just start slapping. No,
their bitch slapping fight was my favorite thing.
And everyone was just laughing hysterically.
Like, it's just so hard. Much. It's like so back to back to back. Like, it's like, so many things.
Yes.
It's so good. And then, at one point, Alice, to like prevent the attack, she like throws this big ball, or not ball, but like this big roll of twine.
Yeah, she's like throwing things at her.
She's like throwing it at Mrs. Voorhees to like prevent
to make her stop.
It's
and
so silly.
But I love it so
it's
much.
No, it's amazing.
They're back and forth fighting.
It was
so fun.
Yeah.
No, it was amazing. It was epic.
It was
so
like,
good.
It was fun and it was epic, but I was interested.
Yes.
I didn't know where it was going to go because we had seen the killer kind of succeed the whole movie, and it's like, well, maybe there's going to be the final girl. Like,
that's what I thought too. Yeah,
I was interested. Yeah. I didn't know.
No, and like Alice was holding her own, so it really was like, what is going to happen?
Yeah,
like,
you throw that ball of twine, girl.
Yeah, you're like in it. You're watching it, and you're like I know, like I actually physically sat up in my chair.
Mm-hmm.
I was like sitting on the edge of my actual seat.
No,
like,
you were.
No, I was
like, over
like,
you were.
So this is where during all of this, we learn the motivation.
Yes.
Behind Mrs. Voorhees.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Mrs. Voorhees says.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you want to
see? Yeah. So she says, hey, my kid Jason was a camper back in 58, was it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in the 50s.
Something.
Yeah.
And
well, I think it was 57 because it was the year
before
the two
they
counselors
died. So in 57, he was a camper, and you counselors were supposed to be watching him, and you didn't.
Yeah, because there was a couple that went off, and they were
they
so
were
he,
at it.
Yeah,
like,
while Jason was swimming.
Jason was swimming, and so she likened it to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and she's like, you let him drown.
Yeah,
like,
you let him drown.
Yeah, you did this.
You.
And then we see this. Again, throughout this kind of back and forth, we're kind of just talking about, like, the whole end of the movie, her switch between being Mrs. Voorhees and being Jason.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you can see it. It's like her face changes.
And they
you
zoom in
her
voice.
Eyes.
Her
like,
voice changes.
Yeah. When they do it, they, like, really zoom in on her face.
Yes.
Like, I swear they, like, kind of cut. Like, they're so
it's
close.
A very up
you
close.
Can't see the bottom of her chin or the top of her forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And they, like, zoom in. And it's like, kill them. Kill them, mommy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like, mommy, kill them. Kill them, mommy.
So creepy.
She's saying this.
Right.
But as though it's not her,
it's
actually
Jason
through her.
Telling her what to do.
That's so good.
Yes.
So there's a whole, again, back and forth, chasing back and forth between the two. But I think let's just go straight to the end of this battle.
Yes.
Oh.
Where we are by the dock.
Well, because it really throws us for a fucking loop. Yes, we're by the dock.
Alice is kind of in her, like, oh, I'm relieved I made it through. Cause she thinks she, at least
she thinks she got her.
She's
her
like
enough.
A little sad by the dock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but then we see the shadow.
We see the shadow
of a person approaching her, and we get the final fight.
Yes,
Brianna, do you want to see what happens?
Yeah, you see the arm raise, right? Because she's holding the knife.
Yeah,
and I mean, this all happened so fast.
Mm-hmm.
This happened so fast, but it was just a straight up decapitation.
Yes.
Of Ms. Voorhees,
a full decapitation.
Like, you know, there was a little back and forth, but basically Alice got the knife and just fully
just
decapitated.
No, that's exactly what it was.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, Sippers, while we're in the theater, as soon as she gets decapitated, everyone started cheering.
The crowd went wild.
The crowd went wild.
Like, we started cheering,
no, they did.
Crying, laughing.
It was one of my favorite moments of my life
so far.
It was so
fun. It was so much fun. I wish I would have taken a picture of you, like, on the edge of your seat,
losing your shit. No, you guys,
It was so good.
In this movie. Like, and I was, like, clutching
my metaphorical
pearls. I wasn't wearing any, but I was, like, clutching my pearls. Like, it was so good.
It was so good.
And then immediately following this, we get another big crowd reaction, which is my favorite scene. Alice has won. She has survived.
Yes.
She is the final survivor.
Yes.
And she is, her thought says, I'm just going to get on this little boat.
Yep.
And go out into the lake. Get on this little canoe.
Yep.
And go. But, I mean, she used the oar to protect herself, mm-hmm. right? So she gets the canoe. And she gets in the canoe. And her hand just kind of comes out. And she just, like, not even with her forearm. It's just kind of like a little
hand flick, just her fingers,
in the water to pull out into the ocean.
Like, okay.
Not the ocean, the lake.
Yes.
Yes. Like, okay, so imagine you're sitting on a couch and a cat walks by you that is, like, just beyond your reach. Like, you can touch its back, but barely. How would you pet that cat?
Just like this.
That's what Alice did to paddle herself out into the middle of the water. Just this little, like, meh.
Yes.
Like, it was my favorite. It was my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Uh-huh. The entire theater.
They all were.
Like, it was so
it
funny
was
to
a
see
a beautiful
little,
moment.
Like, ah.
No, it was amazing.
Out to the lake.
It was a beautiful moment.
So we see Alice go out to the middle of the lake and fall asleep. Because obviously,
she was fighting for her life. Yeah.
And we're at the end of the movie, she's falling asleep, but she wakes up, it's now sunrise, mm-hmm. she's probably made it to the other side of the lake. Mm-hmm. We see the cop waiting at the other side, calling out to her, and it's like, all right,
that's the end of the movie. We've made it. And the lake waters are still, right?
Yes,
it's
still
like
waters.
Sailing.
Yes.
And then?
Jason comes out of the water. Jumps out of the water.
Jumps out. Like, she's just sitting there. It's all so peaceful. And then all of a sudden, boom.
I, like, screamed, I think.
Oh, no, we all did.
I full jump. No, like, you could. It was a full jump. It was
no,
like,
we all did. All of a sudden, this, like, Jason, who I think in the movie is supposed to have been a kid that died.
But this was a full
this
man.
This was a full grown man. It was a full grown man.
That was a full, like, creature from the Black Lagoon.
And
that
he
has come out together.
Like, burned or something.
Yeah, like a burn victim.
Anyway,
he was in the swampy lake.
No, he was like a burn victim, but
anyway,
a grown man.
He grabs her from behind, brings her into the water,
yeah, like,
and we're like, she's toast.
She's so toast.
Good.
And then
it was
she just
so good.
Wakes up
mm-hmm.
in a hospital bed.
Mm-hmm. At first.
And
when she did that, I was like, oh my God, none of this happened.
That's what I thought.
Oh, you thought it was going to be it was a dream.
No, yes.
That's what I thought.
And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like Nightmare on Elm Street.
The whole thing was going to be a dream.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it really like threw me for a loop because I was like, oh shit. Like,
but I do like that how at the end she's like asking like, oh, wait, is everyone dead? Like mm-hmm. she's kind of checking in. And then she doesn't ask about Mrs. Voorhees.
Right.
She's like, did you find the boy?
Right.
Jason.
Did you find Jason? Which I don't know. I love that.
There is no boy.
Wait, did you find Jason?
I know.
Like,
She knows because she knows it's really him.
Yep.
All along.
So good.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then when the movie ended, the audience applauded
again. We clapped.
Which I loved.
It was actually fun.
No, I loved that. It was perfect.
It was such a beautiful moment. It was such a vibe.
Yeah, if any spooky sippers, if any theaters are playing it near you, go watch it. This was actually really fun to watch with other people.
Yes. Yeah.
I honestly think my rating of this movie would have been different had I watched it just at home by myself.
I do too. Yep. Like, this, like, completely contributed. Very different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
So, is this a good time to get into a little bit of psych?
Psych segment.
Let's get into some psych.
All right, kids. Remember, she's not a real doctor, but it's okay because they're not real people.
No,
that is correct.
They might have been real snakes, but they're not real people.
Why'd you have to bring that up?
Sorry. Too soon.
And just as they are not real people and I'm not a real psychologist, I did not really have any time to do any prep.
No,
this is live.
We watched this and then we came home. So the first thing that came to my mind is not so much as like, I'm going to talk about the science of psychology,
mm-hmm.
but I wanted to get into your psyches.
Mm. Oh, gosh.
So here's what came to my mm-hmm. mind, and okay. I'll explain mm-hmm. to you why.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if either of you have camp stories. So here's why.
Mm-hmm.
As they're in camp, they're singing their little Alleluia song.
Right, yeah.
And then the couple sneaks away
mm-hmm.
to go have their like little like
mm-hmm.
romantic session. And it made me think of my camp story.
Oh.
So I'll tell my camp story first.
Okay.
So that then if either mm-hmm. of you have a camp story, you
this.
Can tell it.
Yeah,
this is not so much psych as it is just, you know, gossip.
Oh, yeah.
No,
yeah,
I love
yeah.
it.
Love but it. I think that one of the silly things about me is
mm-hmm.
I'm not a religious person, and people that know me know this, but my very first kiss ever was at church camp.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
So I was 15 and I go to church camp and I was like,
you were 15 for your first kiss?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was a late bloomer.
What
yeah.
a loser.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure. It didn't take me long. 15 to like, first kiss to like full.
That's true. That's
it.
True.
It was a.
That's
quick,
true.
It was
you
a
didn't
quick
mess around
journey.
Once you got started.
So you know, I was more like a sprint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sprint. Yeah. Anyway. Yes, I was a late bloomer.
Okay, sorry.
I was very, very shy as a kid. And
yeah.
so like I had a really hard time making friends and mm-hmm. like getting attention from boys. But I went to this church camp and I met this boy.
Oh.
And I liked him so much. And he liked me so much.
This is too cute.
And yeah. here's how I knew that, like, I liked this boy so much. And he probably will never listen to this podcast.
Who knows? Our
but,
number one fan, actually.
Yeah. yeah.
He could be.
Brandon, if you're hearing this, you know who you are. So we danced to Michael Jackson, you guys. This is how I knew that this boy
well,
was the boy for
oh
me.
Oh, my God. It's over.
I think we know how much that means.
Right?
It means so much.
Yes.
So we go out into the fields because there was like
fields.
Stars out. So like
no,
we're like
fields.
So instead of like being in bed in our like bunks, like we like snuck out to the fields at church camp and we're like looking up at the stars and like we were just like holding hands and it was very romantic.
So
and he was
sweet.
Like, do you want me to kiss you? Are you sure? And anyway, that was my first kiss was at church camp.
That's actually really cute, though.
It is cute.
So as I'm watching this movie about murders mm-hmm. and killers and camp, I was, like, having, like, a real sense
oh.
of romanticism and, like, nostalgia.
Cute.
Oh.
So that's my camp story.
I love that.
That
is such a cute story. I, like, didn't do camp. Like, in that, I'm honestly really jealous. Like, this sounds
it was so,
like,
it was actually
I feel
amazing.
Like it's such a, like, big part of child. Like, the only camp I did was like I would do it for like soccer so like
mm-hmm.
It was like a fit like a sport camp so we would
yeah mine wasn't
like
that.
An all women like
mm-hmm.
all women and we would go and we'd stay at the local university and we would just train from like
mm-hmm.
morning to afternoon and we would watch soccer during the afternoon
nice
and eat healthy
That is not as
so,
fun of a story.
And learn to run faster.
All right.
So I'm very jealous.
Okay.
I'm very jealous. That sounds really cute. And I'm sad that I missed out on the camp experience.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have other cute moments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's fine.
I learned how to kind of run.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Don't worry. I don't run very well to this day. So the camps worked really
real worth it. Yeah. Real worth
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Mom and Dad, for paying for those.
Yay. Yeah.
Yay. Do you have any fun camp stories or no?
Yeah. So listeners, what do we call them?
Sippers.
Sippers.
Readers. We do call them readers sometimes.
Viewers.
Readers. This is a good chance for you to get to know us a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't know this, Laura and I are sisters.
Yes.
And we are as stereotypically sisters as you can get.
Mm.
When you think like sweet and wholesome.
That's me.
That's her. When you think like the Dark. One the one that was like fucking around. That's that was me. Yeah. So that camp that Laura just told you a story about.
You went to the same one.
A few years later, I went to the few. Yeah, the same one. But, a few years later.
Uh-huh.
I was the kid where I had my first cigarette there.
Did you light fire to it?
No fires. I was
to the whole camp.
To the whole camp.
There were no camps after.
I was 12. I was 12, but I learned how to smoke there.
Okay.
Because I didn't know how before.
There was no smoking.
I couldn't, figure out, how to light mine. And so they gave me a hard time for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they taught me how. And I drank for the first time there, too.
Oh, wow.
So I had a really good time
at
camp.
They didn't do, a cigarette and alcohol checks on these 12-year-olds?
I definitely did not have that at mine. I'm sure probably some did, but not... I don't think so. We were just dancing to Michael Jackson, kissing in the fields.
That was Laura's experience. Mine was a little darker.
It was a different time.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. All right.
So that was my camp story.
So that's just to give you all, I'm going to leave this now to you, Sippers, to psychoanalyze each of us.
Yes.
Also, if you have any cute or scary camp stories,
or honestly, share them.
Camp stories. Let me vicariously enjoy, fear,
yes.
Read this through.
We want to hear them
share.
All.
Share.
Yes. And if you're okay with us sharing it, we will absolutely share it.
Absolutely. Yes, please do.
Yes.
Please do. All right, so now I'm going to do a very, very quick and dirty psych segment.
Love.
Okay.
Love.
So first we're going to talk about the fear of the number 13,
yes.
Which is... Triskaidekaphobia.
That's
Triskaidekaphobia.
Mm-hmm.
So, a little bit of background into why the fear of 13 is a thing. So, historically, the number 12 is considered complete. So, when you have 12 of something, you're done. That's mm-hmm. complete.
Huh.
So, a dozen eggs, for example. Think right. of that. If you have a dozen eggs or a dozen donuts and then you get an extra one, that's it just feels awkward,
that's
right? That's
dozen.
Bad. Well, baker's dozen. Okay, fine.
But why?
Well, so it actually goes back to biblical times.
Oh, okay.
Think about Jesus and his 12 disciples.
Oh, damn it,
Any
Jesus.
More than that is bad.
Yeah.
Right?
You get, what's his face?
Then? Judas.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Son of a bitch.
Exactly. Also,
what's his name? That son of a bitch, Judas.
Get the hell out of here, Judas. Lots of times when executions happened, how many steps did it take to get to the gallows?
Was it 13?
It was 13.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just historically been considered unlucky. Mm-hmm. But also, more than the triskaidekaphobia is the periskaidekatriophobia.
That sounds right.
Yes.
Think
I said
me,
it right.
I think that sounds
just, I practiced it eight
I think
times.
That was correct.
So that is not just the fear of 13. That is fear of Friday the 13th.
Okay.
So in addition to 13 being considered unlucky because of, the gallows and, mm-hmm. 12 is complete, so 13 is too many. Also, Friday is bad, especially when it's on the 13th, because, again, biblical times, Jesus died on a Friday, you guys.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Good Friday? Or no, wait. I don't know. Google says he's died on a Friday, so we're going to go with that.
Probably is Good Friday. That is Good Friday.
No, Good Friday is when he came back to life.
No, it's not. Also, we should say, Sippers, that Laura and I are daughters of a priest.
Oh, yeah, so we should know. Oh, no, he did die on Friday. He came back to Earth on Sunday, Easter. That's what Easter is.
Just talked about Jesus camp. Yes. That you went to.
I was busy kissing boys.
I was busy. Okay. I was drunk.
Oh, I was falling in love for the first
time. Yeah, I was drunk, so I don't know what was happening.
Oh, I was kissing boys in the field under the stars. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, Jesus died on Friday. Good Friday. He came back.
Definitely when Jesus died.
Okay. Why do they call it Good Friday? That's when he died. All right. Well, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah. This is not Jesus camp. We never said we were, what's this?
Religious?
No, not, like, I'm thinking of, like, the term for, like, people who study religion. Is there a term for that?
Theologians?
Theologians. We never said we were.
We did not.
All right. So, some stats for you.
Love it.
Nearly 8% of people in the United States are parascavedicatriophobes.
So, sorry, is that the fear of 13 or Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th.
That's higher than I would expect.
Me too. That's actually higher.
That's actually kind of high. Mm-hmm. So here's how you know. Here are some symptoms of parascavedicatriophobia. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to a panic attack. So you could have hyperventilation, a rapid heart rate, like feeling like you're having a heart attack or your, you know, your heart is going too fast.
Yeah.
Nervous giggling. Lightheadedness or dizziness. Big symptom that lets you know this is not just a panic attack, but actually the fear of Friday the 13th. Refusing to leave the home on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Or, like, you find excuses, you cry, you scream. Basically, you throw a temper tantrum. Right. Yeah. You're not going to leave.
Mm-hmm.
If you indulge in ritualistic behavior, so, like, you hang your shoes outside the window to repel evil. Now, I thought that was a sign drugs are sold here. I thought, you know, when you see shoes.
Yeah, over the telephone pole. Sneakers.
Mm-hmm. So, Google tells me if you hang your shoes outside the window to repel evil or eat garlic.
Window, not
power line. Yeah, window. The power line is a different thing than a window. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
What?
Some say those are different.
Some say that a window and a power line are not actually the same thing.
I used to say.
A power line can be outside a window, though. They could hang the shoes.
That's what I'm thinking.
Power line outside the window.
Just hang shoes up.
Are you okay?
Moving on. Eating garlic. I thought that was for vampires.
Yeah. Or this evil spirit, you know?
Yeah. Or if you, like, walk around the room 13 times. Or if you just have thoughts of death or dying that continually play through your mind.
Oh.
So, the concept of Friday the 13th.
Uh-huh.
Was that a real thing before this movie?
Yes.
So this movie is not.
No.
Yes. So back. This is basically coming from back from biblical times, like in antiquity, as we learned in a previous episode. So, you know, Jesus having more than 13, because 12 historically since in antiquity has been like that's complete. And anything beyond that is considered unlucky.
Yes.
So it actually leads to like real life things.
Right.
Like one thing that really grinds my gears is like you go to a hotel and there's all the levels and it's like, oh, go to floors 1, 2, 3, blah, 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 all the way up to 12. And then it's like 14, 16, 18. Yep. And I'm like, who the hell are you kidding? Floor 14 is the 13th floor.
Well, I think it helps some people, though.
Or, like, when planes don't have a 13th aisle.
Yeah.
Like, people won't, like, that blows my mind that, like, people play into this fake fear. Not fake fear, because it's a real fear for people, but it's a fake threat.
See, whereas, like, I am, like, the opposite of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you have to respect
that.
Like,
You're a little stitious.
You're, I think
it, you're not superstitious.
Yeah, I think everyone stitious. Should be stitious.
Yes. But like 13.
No,
it's not something that's going to cause you harm.
I would 100% think it is, and I disagree with you.
So like, you have.
I would not sit
so you on have the 13th aisle. Godecaphobia. I would absolutely prefer
yeah.
the 13th aisle. Like, I want to laugh.
That's pretty far in the front, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. we are very opposites.
I think you have to respect it.
I think.
It is kind of surprising, though, where it's like, oh, hotels will just kind of like.
Pretend
skip
it doesn't
it,
exist.
Or airlines will skip yeah. it. Like, that's see, a really big step for, like, a lot of people to just accept
right.
that that's okay. Like, I can't really think of another example of something
yeah, that's true.
That's kind of that mm-hmm. big, where it's like, this is ultimately just a superstition.
Mm-hmm.
Not that people don't believe in them or believe right. in the effects of it, but it is mostly a superstition. And it's crazy how big of an impact
yes.
that has actually had.
I have since closed my browser, but at some point I looked up the financial implication of what the fear of 13
yeah. mm-hmm.
and Friday the 13th especially, but mm-hmm. even just 13 in general, the amount of financial ramifications and how much it costs is wild. Like, it costs a lot of money to cater to this fear. That huh. people have.
Oh, yeah.
To like make different numbers or to like mm-hmm. appease that there's no 13, even though when you just count, there's 13. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But just saying it's not 13th.
Right. Like,
yeah.
apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. So,
yeah.
And then I really have like the most half-ass version. So we'll probably do this in another episode just because like this is the most, ridiculous, unprepared psych I've ever done.
That's okay.
Talking about revenge. Because I feel like that is what Mrs. Voorhees?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Was like her and Jason is all about revenge.
Totally,
so he
yeah.
died.
Mm-hmm.
So she felt the need to then punish those
mm-hmm.
who, even if they were not responsible,
yes.
she was going to say is responsible because
yes.
she felt the need.
Yes.
So, really, revenge is just this urge to get retribution for an injustice.
Mm-hmm.
This can be a real or it can be a perceived injustice.
Yeah.
And okay. it's really just like you want to punish.
Right.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. So, this happens mostly the personality type that feel the need to get revenge are people that are narcissistic.
Mm-hmm.
And vindictive.
That makes
because
sense.
It's a way of seeking control. Okay, so someone's done you wrong, so now you feel the need to seek control upon them. But the problem with that is no matter what you do, and I'm sorry to tell you, Spooky Sippers and everyone else, you can never control anyone else. You just can't. Like, no matter how much you want to, you cannot control other people.
Yeah.
So instead of it actually appeasing and like, making your anger get better.
Right.
It actually, not only does it make it worse, it just leads to this like vicious cycle. So there's actually been studies of people who have had something wrong done to them and those that kind of just can let it go versus those that seek revenge. The ones that seek revenge are markedly like unhappier and angrier. And like, so If you try to seek revenge and want to seek revenge, you're making it worse on yourself.
But like, what is it about us that makes us want to do that? Like,
yeah.
why as humans?
Because we all understand.
Are we driven
revenge,
to like? Because
yeah.
here's the thing. Like, I have to say, I always was like, revenge is such a ridiculous concept. Like,
mm-hmm.
I would never want that. And I've lived most of my life like that. But I had something happened to someone I know, and I understood
mm-hmm.
finally being like, I want to get that motherfucker back. Like,
yes.
I got it. So, like, what is it about humans?
It's actually a very simple explanation.
Mm-hmm.
So, the reason for that is that we think it is going to give us this temporary feeling of reward or like this momentary satisfaction. So, like, all right, you feel, for example,
mm-hmm.
you have a craving for a sweet. So you go eat that sweet.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, Mm-hmm. It's going to make you feel, oh, I did the thing I wanted to do, and it feels good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So even though you might think, okay, this like retribution, revenge is going to feel good in the moment, it actually, not only does it not give you even that momentary satisfaction,
yeah,
it actually prevents you from healing. Because instead of being able to heal and move past it, it keeps you in that thought process.
Yeah,
of
you're
thinking
like
about the thing that's bad.
Yeah. In that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't give you that momentary satisfaction. It keeps you in this loop.
I see it
actually creates this kind of like vicious cycle, or what I wrote down, it creates a cycle of bad juju, basically.
Oh. No, I can see that actually. I get that.
So revenge is one of those fascinating things because everyone can understand the need for it, right? Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think anyone can at least understand why someone would want revenge.
Yes.
Like we all at least understand.
Yeah.
And I've had a craving for it. You've had a craving for it.
Not like even agree, but understand for sure.
I think everyone has experience, has a personal experience of thinking like something bad happened to me. I want to get this revenge on someone. Mm-hmm. But what's really the studies show is that revenge, not only does it not make things better,
mm-hmm.
it makes things worse.
Yeah. I can see that. Mm-hmm.
So really, Jason is just screwed for.
He's
doomed for eternity to live this cycle of bad juju of just, you know, wanting this satisfaction and never getting it because it's just going to prevent him from healing.
Yeah.
So that is my quick and dirty psych.
No, that was fun.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm totally here for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. Talking about Jason, and I guess we could have talked about this when we were talking about the movie too, but it is kind of funny how Jason in the mask with the hockey jersey is our idea of Jason.
Okay, so I was going to ask, like I was going to ask what...
That's movie number three. What
is it? Like, how does this work?
So here's, I think this is kind of a product of our age because I even thought of Friday the 13th is Jason.
Yes.
But really, the original Friday the 13th is the mom.
Yeah.
Is Mrs. Voorhees. Mm-hmm. And I think not only does this speak to a bit of like, our product of our time, but it speaks to the fucking patriarchy, ladies. We don't think of this sweet little soccer mom haircut.
Yes.
Why do I call her sweet? She's not sweet. She's not a fucking sweet. Monster. But like what we don't think of the woman, we think of this like the man. Mess. He is the default.
No, you're right. Yeah. Like I even just pulled it up on Google and I'm looking at it like to see who he is. And like we do think of him way more than we think of her.
Which in all of the subsequent movies, he does become a bigger character.
Oh, no,
I will give them that.
Yeah.
So, like, he becomes the face of it.
Yeah.
But originally,
it was her.
She was the villain.
Which is just kind of...
So where's the hockey mask come from?
That movie number three.
Now, I get confused because...
I think I gotta watch these
didn't
movies.
Didn't Mike Myers wear a hockey mask? What... I thought Mike Myers wore the...
Who, when I pull
like
it up...
That's who I imagine. Yeah, it's like the white mask with
Why are their masks so similar?
They look kind of similar.
Wait, pull up Mike Myers. Does he look the same?
Let's get all our horror
heroes.
Spooky
Super.
Yeah, it's like, not
that's
different.
A hockey mask.
No, that is different. His is more...
I'm guessing...
Michael Myers is like a full face.
No,
like
full
but over
totally...
the head. Whereas Jason is like... Only
the hockey mask.
I'm guessing at some point we will learn that Jason is a hockey player.
Yeah. So, and I feel like I know where you guys are going to go with it, but I guess the movie, when they filmed it without knowing which ending they were going to go with.
Oh.
One option was the ending we got, which is Mrs. Voorhees being the killer. The other option was Jason.
Oh.
That was the other, and they didn't really know what they were going to go with until the end.
Interesting.
So, which do you like? Are you happy with the direction they went? Do you wish they would have gone the other way?
I personally love the direction they went, and here's why. because I feel like Mrs. Voorhees is a distinct entity and her time is limited.
Mm-hmm.
So use her while you can.
Yes.
Because eventually then she will die and now you have this monster in the lake. Because they used both.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they had her being the killer on the land while Jason mm-hmm. was kind of controlling her. And now they can have him come out of the water and yeah. do all the killings. I actually think it makes a lot of sense. And I like that they used the mom because that was, for me, one of my favorite parts of this movie was mm-hmm. that it's this like soccer mom with like a Karen haircut.
Yeah.
Like she is not what you would expect as mm-hmm. a killer. And I love that they did that.
Yeah.
I have to like 100% agree. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. everything that you just said. Like mm-hmm. I'm the same way. I'm so glad that it's hers. Mm-hmm. And like, I also have to say like, I love the way that they like unveiled who it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because even like as we learn her story, like it wasn't over dramatic. Like,
no.
I mean, yes, it was dramatic, but it wasn't like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And overly the, like, cheesy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like the way that it like unraveled for us that mm-hmm. how we learned that she became the killer. Like
yeah.
I loved that.
Yeah.
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 No, I completely agree. And I kind of thought you guys would agree, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's part of... And I think today it wouldn't be as much of a surprise just because we have seen so many horror movies and so many more have come out. But mm-hmm. especially for 1980, I think a big thing that this movie does well is kind of surprise the audience with
yes.
some things. And I think having the killer not be an adult man or actually Jason who's come out of the lake to
yes.
kill... I think it was actually an interesting way
yes.
Yes.
to look at it. And
yes.
I think it was, one thing, it was more human, right?
Yes.
Because it wasn't the creature from the lagoon coming to kill them.
Completely.
It was a mom who
yes.
was hurt
mm-hmm.
because in her mind, the counselors are the reason her son is dead. And
yes.
so counselors are evil people.
Right.
You know?
She's
like,
going for that revenge.
Human revenge and
mm-hmm.
human trauma.
And I love, like,
yeah.
she makes it seem logical.
Yeah.
And she makes it seem straightforward. Like,
yeah.
well, of course. Like,
mm-hmm. yep.
yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
No, I love it.
So I'm happy
love
they
it.
Went the way that they did. And I guess the director of this first movie refused to direct the next movies because he did not like the idea of bringing Jason back.
I see.
And
really,
turning him into the killer that
now
we now
I've never seen them, so like I actually now
yeah,
want
now
to
I'm,
go see them. Like,
I'm honestly trying to
I'm like, I think
remember.
I need to go watch them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, see, this surprises me because the end of the movie has Jason come out of the lake
mm-hmm.
and try to kill Alice, so I feel like they went out of their way to introduce Jason as this thing that was real and could kill.
Well,
so it's weird that they didn't...
We don't know if that was real.
Oh, maybe she was imagining
mm-hmm.
it,
yeah.
I think.
All we know is that she was asleep on the lake, and then she woke up, like...
Yeah, they found
we
her.
We had the jump scare, and then her waking up in the
yes,
hospital.
Because they did show her getting the confession from the mom as to why the mom was doing it
yes,
right before
right.
she got decapitated.
Exactly.
So, like,
oh,
we don't
shit.
Know.
There was absolutely a world in which Jason never
existed.
Right.
It was
that
only
was
the mom.
That was
yes.
a nightmare she had while in the hospital.
Well, and
oh,
wasn't,
my
didn't
God.
Didn't she talk about having nightmares?
I
was she the one that...
Oh, shoot.
Or am I, like, totally misremembering?
Oh, she might have.
But wasn't there yeah. a character that was, like...
Shoot,
had nightmares
I'm
as a
not
kid.
Remembering this.
I mean, it could be.
It
I
could
don't
be.
Remember. But
this is late night spooky sense.
I know.
Guys, also.
And we've had some wine.
Also, I feel like we need to be drunker for this. This was supposed to be our drunk episode. I realize I said supposed with like four more S's than
yeah,
I was supposed to.
I said
to.
A few for a few words wrong. Frost,
I feel like we're holding ourselves together though. Like,
so
I was fully
we
expecting
like,
a poltergeist.
Go,
like,
I think I need to go listen to our poltergeist episode.
Our poltergeist was so
you know,
good.
Sippers, you should know that we were at a bar a few hours ago, and we were just crying.
We were just
yeah,
crying
we all
in the
crying.
Bar, y'all.
We were all crying in the bar. So
it was a beautiful moment.
It was beautiful. So we were ready to come and let loose with all the tears.
It's been a real day.
I think it's just a solid choice.
No.
Like,
yeah.
So one is that this movie was very heavily inspired by John Carpenter's Halloween.
Yes.
Which had come out 2 years earlier.
I got that.
Hence the reason for us being confused by the villains, because they look the friggin' same.
Well, okay. Just even, like, some of the camera angles.
Yeah, like, that feels
familiar. And, like, the setup.
And the way they find the bodies. Yeah. Like,
it was very similar. Okay. Yeah. Honestly, though, it was still great.
Yes.
The movie was shot on a budget of, like, $500,000, but it would go on to gross $39
million.
Nice. Wow. So it did very well for itself. I think it was one of the most profitable horror movies that has ever been made. We've talked about the big ones, like Blair Witch being made on $5 and making a gazillion.
But yeah.
This is definitely up there
in
terms of return on investment. The film was originally going to be called The Long Night.
What?
Why?
But they decided to change it to Friday the 13th to make it more marketable.
Oh my gosh, I am so glad they did.
That was a good move. Like, what would that even, The Long Night? Like, which, I mean, I guess
it takes place a long time. Over one night.
Like, yeah, it is a long night.
It's true.
But, and I guess, like, honestly, after I read that, I kind of realized, like, we find out that it's Jason's birthday on the 13th, and I guess it just so happens to land on a Friday.
Right.
I think that was honestly really smart of them, because it doesn't really have anything to do with Friday the 13th.
No, it doesn't.
Other than they decided that his birthday would land on a Friday for whatever year it was supposed to take place in. That was genius marketing.
It was.
And it was, superstition already existed, and they were like, let's capitalize.
I mean, we just talked about, like, how much it's just been a thing. Yeah. People are afraid of Friday. There's a freaking name for it.
Right.
That's what it's called.
So I think that was honestly a genius move.
Like,
very
just
smart.
Just take something, and now it is so heavily associated with that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you think Friday the 13th, you have to think Jason. Well,
no, I mean, and I hadn't even seen the movie in my entire life. That's what I thought of when I heard Friday the 13th.
So, honestly,
Jason, like,
so smart.
Right. Yeah,
brilliant.
And honestly, I guess, again, maybe they took a little bit of influence from John Carpenter's Halloween.
Right.
Name it after something famous.
Right.
That already exists.
Yes.
The film was shot at an actual camp called Nobibosco.
Okay.
Nobibosco?
Nobibosco. It's like separate by hyphens.
Oh, yeah. Nobibosco.
Nobibosco.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Weird.
Which is a real summer camp in New Jersey and is still in operation today.
Oh, my God.
And offers tours related to
the film.
Well,
we're going.
Add it to the Spooky Sips tour. You guys, we could go kiss people at the camp.
What?
My summer camp story.
I know, but what?
Well, why do we have to do that?
I want to go kiss people.
Why not?
Can I go snow
random camp in New Jersey?
Not random. You have to have a moment.
One thing I looked up, because I forget where. No, it's when the owner of the camp is driving with the cop. Because there was a police officer who said something about how crime is higher during a full moon.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
Right.
That is, for some reason, I want to say, unfortunately, not true.
Right.
Oh, okay.
They've taken actual statistics.
Right.
I had a feeling. And found that there is no relation at all.
Yeah,
and anything that says otherwise is usually very biased in the way that they create that. So, unfortunately, they were wrong in the movie.
Yep.
And honestly, there's so many fun facts, but those are the ones that
I'm going to share.
A long episode.
Yep.
Well, because we're drunk.
It's fine.
And by we, I mean me.
Yes.
That cocktail was something else, man.
Yeah, we're just going to move on from the cocktail that was offered
anyway.
We're now just drinking boxed wines.
Yeah, we
spooky
are.
Spooky sippers, so just do that.
This time in history.
1980, it's got to be a great year.
I am ready.
It's got to be a great year.
What's going on?
How was the Berlin Wall doing?
What?
I don't know. I just think of the 80s.
Let's just start with the Berlin Wall.
Was it up? Was it down? Like, what's going on?
Oh, my God.
You're welcome to search that separately. That is
what
not
is
in my history.
I think it came down in, like, 85, so it's probably still up.
Please go ahead and check that.
I don't even know what the point of it was, so.
But, you know, it's very segregational.
We are not a history podcast. I'm not getting into the Berlin Wall. and its ups and downs.
All right, I'm sorry I brought it up.
In bad news, and you know, I think you've been able to see it this whole trip, Mount St. Helens erupted.
Oh,
on
May 18th
of 1980, killing 57 people, which is so scary to think about. The idea of that. And that was in, like, 1980. Like, that is not long ago. You know, this was, like, dinosaur age of volcano.
No, this was 1980. That was 20 years ago.
Look at Mount Hood. It looks like that. Yeah. And then it just exploded, and now it looks like that.
Yeah. I realize we are a spooky movie podcast, and this is not necessarily a spooky movie. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the movie Dante's Peak?
Oh, yes. Oh my God,
that's the best
because
movie
isn't that
ever.
Basically about Mount St. Helen? Oh. Like, I think they pretend it's not.
Right.
But isn't
it's
that,
like, oh, yes. Yeah.
Like, I think that's...
Can we do that movie?
Oh,
because that's
so
amazing.
Good.
Oh my gosh.
Such a
Pierce
good movie.
Pierce Brosnan is like...
Oh my gosh.
Wait, is that who it is? Oh, it is Pierce Brosnan. You're right. You're right. Sorry.
Moving on.
Like, Kevin Bacon is trash.
No, he is
Pierce
not.
Brosnan. All right.
No,
all right.
Kevin Bacon is
all right,
so
ladies.
Beautiful.
Ladies, we're not going there.
Kevin Bacon is a god.
CNN began broadcasting June 1.
This is Doubtfire.
1980.
Kevin Bacon was in Tremors.
But Pierce Brosnan was in Mrs.
John
Doubtfire.
Lennon was shot.
We have devolved.
I'm not laughing at John Lennon. Former Beatle John Lennon. Laura's on the ground, rolling with laughter.
No, I'm laughing at Brianna, not at John Lennon. Oh, poor John Lennon.
Things that were invented. The post-it note.
Oh, that's cool.
By like Romy as in Romy and Michelle?
What?
Oh, you're so young.
You're way too young for that. Jesus.
Oh my god.
I'm
you
almost
guys.
Too young for that.
Have you ever seen the movie Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion?
No.
Oh my god. Get the hell out of here. She invented the post-it note.
I'm sorry.
She said it at her 10-year high school reunion. Phoebe Buffay. What's her name? What's her actual name? Oh my god, I know her name. Lisa Kudrow. She was in that movie. So good.
Well, the post-it note was actually invented by Arthur Fry and Spencer Silver.
All right, you don't get it. I'm so old.
Okay. The Rubik's Cube debuted as well. It was invented years before, but it debuted
in
1980.
I know how to solve it.
Matthew's.
Are you good at it? I'm not good at it.
I'm not. I have to memorize
the
pattern, and then I can do it.
I'm so bad at solving Rubik's Cubes. Don't read
it.
It
takes a while. You just have to, like, I can do it if I practice it, but if I don't practice it,
I've just never tried. Because, like, why
you just have to follow
what I want to do that?
Because you're cool.
Yeah. Because it's really cool.
Nah.
All right, let's get into some popular films other than this one, obviously.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm. So we had Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
Nice.
I'm not a big Star Wars person. But
I like the old Star Wars.
That one or didn't like it. I don't know. Superman 2, starring someone, I'm sure. 9 to 5.
Oh my god, I love that movie.
Yvette, tell me you've seen
it. I haven't.
With Dolly
Parton?
No, it is. It's on my list. I know I need to watch it.
I watched it not that long ago. It is such a good movie.
Can we just extend our trip so we can watch more movies?
Yeah. Well, anyway, popular music at the time was Blondie with Call Me.
Okay.
Nice.
Olivia Newton-John with Magic.
Aww.
Queen with Another One Bites the Dust. And Diana Ross with Upside Down.
Nice.
Upside Down. Boy, turn me. Okay,
don't sing
singing.
Anymore because we can't.
I can't.
We can't pay those royalty fees.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Didn't pay for that trademark.
Yeah.
So.
That's all I said.
And that's it. That's everything that happened.
Love.
All right, perfect.
And there's more. I just didn't get
no,
to
it. Just don't. Just. We
all
don't,
right.
Just talk
no,
about
I
it.
Love it. All right. So here on Spooky Sips, we get drunk.
Yes.
No, that wasn't
what we did tonight.
Well, no, we do that as well.
Okay, here on Spooky Sips, we don't give stars. We give sips. So, ladies, out of 5 sips, how many would you give this movie?
Honestly, this is so hard because I think seeing it in theater with a packed room full of people who you could tell really loved this movie is absolutely going to affect this score.
Agreed.
So, like, I'm just going to say that now.
Agreed.
So, like, I'm trying to
Yeah, we need a disclaimer maybe on this episode. Yes.
So, I agree. And so I also want to take the historical context of this movie, but I want to count that because this movie is from 1980.
Right.
Yes.
And people still pack a movie theater in a city to come see this.
Yep.
We actually saw this on Saturday the 14th.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't get tickets to Friday the 13th.
And we had to sit in the second row because it was full.
Yeah. So I feel like this movie stands the test of time.
Agreed.
I had seen this movie and forgot about it. Like, forgot about most of it. But I feel like the reactions from the crowd all matched my reaction, which means it just, it gets to a certain part of you that really is universally understood. So I think for me, there's parts of it that are not like the most scary, the most like tolerable or whatever. But like, I'm going to go with a solid 3.5 stars.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm going with solid 3.5.
3.5.
I was going to go for just 3, but because I enjoyed it so much in that theater, I'm going 3.5.
Okay. I feel like, I think this is where it comes to personal taste, which I think is so much of horror movies. I think for this one, and I was giving the disclaimer, because to me it's really high. So, like, I think I'm going to go with a 4.
Okay.
Because I really liked this movie. I am a big fan of horror movies. But I don't like to be completely disturbed, personally.
Oh, I like and to be completely disturbed.
This one was, it was a good balance of actually scary. If you don't like horror movies, you shouldn't watch it. There's actual gore, and the effects are really good. But it has, like, comedic elements. It's super 80s.
It was
like,
so funny.
It gets, like, early 80s. It was so fun. Like, I really enjoyed it because it was my style, and I think going to see it in theaters made it more fun. So, for me, it's a 4.
Solid. Love it. Love it.
Yeah, so I think for me, like, I have 2 different type of horror movies that I love. Okay? I love the really, like, actually dark and disturbing ones that, like, upset you because of how, like, they get into your psyche and, like, fuck you up. I love those.
Yes.
And then I love slasher horror.
Yeah.
Those are my 2 that I really genuinely love. And to me, I think if I had to say, like, this is it. This is the quintessential slasher movie.
It's such a good slasher. It's such a good slasher.
So for me, it is a 4.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going with.
So good.
Because, like, it is everything I want out of a slasher movie, and it did it so well.
It did.
And I would recommend this one genuinely to, like, any and everyone. So, yeah, it's a 4 for me.
Also, Kevin Bacon, you're amazing. We love you.
Yes.
And Pierce Brosnan, if you're listening.
Not in this, but still.
Kevin Bacon, we love you so much. You are so good in this movie.
Okay, so next time on Spooky Sips, it's a big holiday for all of us.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
It's Halloween. So we will be doing Beetlejuice. And the reason for that is because we are dressing up as Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Here on Spooky Sips, we as a family, Halloween's a big deal. And we do themed costumes every year.
Yeah, we do.
So this year we decided to go big. We're doing Beetlejuice.
Oh my gosh.
So that'll be the movie that we're doing to get us prepared for it. You will not want to miss that episode.
No.
It's going to be great.
Classic.
Classic.
Yes.
So get watching and get sipping.
And we'll see you next time on Spooky Sips.
Bye.
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 Thank you for listening to Spooky Sips. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening. To stay up to date on all the spooky things we're up to, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at SpookySips_podcast. And if you want to help support the podcast, consider buying us a coffee, or really a cocktail. We are completely independent, so every little bit goes a long way to keeping our podcast running and improving. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.